Let's click that. But if you want to click the little post gas, yeah, we decided just.
Can you hear me on Zoom? Thank you.
That's where the side thing we can jump. If you've got anything over down here, is there anything else you guys need?
We're good.
With them, would be either of those is
Okay.
fine. But if you ask questions without that, they'll be able to hear them.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, she asked.
Yeah, Lisa, can you try talking or somebody, see if we can hear you?
Are you able to hear me?
Yes. Very
Hello.
well, thank you. Hi, Kimberly. Thank you, Lisa. All right. All right, Zoom participants, are you seeing the presenter notes or the actual slideshow? No, I can't see them.
The presenter notes are
You're
coming
seeing.
up too.
Okay, thank you. Ah, there we go. Okay, is that better?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Maybe let me turn it on here. Okay, and I think they can see us. That should be fine. All right, thank you so much. Okay. I'm gonna. It's not as seamless on this with the speaker notes. All right, we'll just give it another minute. We don't want to start early. Okay, anything? Okay. I'm gonna grab my headphones. All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Can you hear me? Am I close enough to the mic? I don't have a booming voice. Okay, well, good afternoon and welcome. I'm Megan Mackin, and this is Damath Pereira. We're from Oklahoma State University Libraries. Today we'll be introducing a tool named Redbud Folio Assistant, after the Redbud tree, which is the state tree of Oklahoma. It's a small understory tree. I think we have a picture later on in the show. It has purplish flowers and it propagates easily. So maybe it's a good, maybe it's appropriate in other ways since it's an open source product and open source conference. But anyway, Redbud Reports was developed to support our Folio users in our OSU A&M consortium who don't necessarily have API skills and aren't able to produce the reports they need through the Folio application. So this solution has had a big impact on our everyday workflow and processes and reporting for our consortium. So I'll tell you a little bit about that here. Let's see. Come on. There we go. Slide two. During this session, we'll talk about how we came up with the idea, the features we've included, and how other libraries can benefit from it as well. So how did it come up? It goes back to our original migration from Folio EDS to Folio EDS from Alma Primo. And we migrated from Alma to Folio within a 1 year time frame. It was maybe just a little bit less because we got a late start. Went live in December 2024. It's a pretty rushed migration, but we did it. We did a lot of work after we went live, and most of this work was after, right after we went live. Before in Alma, we had 10 institutions, each with its own Alma Prima instance. And after the transition, we have a single Folio tenant that's all shared, and we support 10 separate EDS instances. And so we've got 10 institutions. Oklahoma State is the big land grant institution, main research one institution involved, and there are several community colleges, a theological seminary, a medical school. So we've got a variety of institutions all in one tenant, 14 campuses, 23 libraries, and at least 333 locations, which is too much for one, but we make it work. So following this structure, migrating and testing the data became a lot easier. This location structure that we went with provides reports we need for a campus or for a library or for each location. We use it for circulation reports, weeding projects, inventorying, and many other purposes. Even now, as we continue to build out the Folio Assistant application, our additional development is straightforward because we have a solid basis in our location set up here. So during the migration process, we encountered challenges with how to handle the patron feed. So in Alma, we had a daily workflow for handling patron data. Campus IT provided a CSV file for us from our student information system with all the user information. We processed it and pushed it into Alma's database each day. It didn't do much except update the expiration date so patrons didn't expire and brought in new patrons. But building on that experience, as you can see in the slide, Damath developed a process to read CSV files, validate the data, and push the user information into the Folio database using its API. So that there's a smooth integration between Folio and the student information system. But we were also the campus's guinea pigs for an integration service called Boomi that promises to connect Folio's API with the Banner API. Our campus IT timeline for Boomi, since we were the first, didn't quite match up with our Folio go live date. So we needed that stopgap solution from the beginning. But as we realized, as we went along, we do use the Boomi integration, but it doesn't do everything that we need. We need a more nuanced solution for our particular requirements. Like one example is we need our librarians to be able to edit our user groups for our patrons without those being overwritten automatically, because we are in that shared tenant with users who are patrons who attend multiple campuses or institutions in our tenant. So anyway, all this led to Domoth building a full-featured dedicated application, which we call Redbud, to manage that daily user feed process, monitor the activity, generate reports, and handle any issues that came up. So for that Folio patron feed, the process runs nightly. It handles new patron additions, deactivates expired accounts, and updates a lot of relevant patron information. We're actually, Domoth's always finding a new use for it. So it's constantly becoming more relevant all the time. We also needed a migration solution for analytics. Alma Analytics had offered, built-in reporting along with the custom reporting that you could do yourself. And our staff use this extensively for daily activities. So we knew going into Folio that the Lists app and Panorama were in their infancy, that we'd need a custom solution for reporting. So Domoth and I talked about what we could do, especially for the daily reports that staff needed to just do their regular old job, like fines and fees and the tech equipment inventory. Those were our first couple of reports. Domoth always says, "Oh, that's easy." So it makes the whole process easier for all of us. He began building out Redbud from that initial user feed process to also include reporting, and really took off from there. So for the analytics process, we asked librarians to identify existing reports that they needed. What were they doing in Alma? But we encouraged them to think about what they really wanted, not just what they had access to in the past. And so the new reports that we have are like circulation loans, and logs, blocks, various inventory reports. And like I said, we're constantly building more. Okay, so let me stop for just a second and talk about our roles. Domoth is a software developer. That's accurate. And my background's in digital libraries. And in my current role, I also do some systems librarian type of work. So before Folio, Domoth hadn't worked very much with our catalog or ILS data. So our skills complemented each other well. And I think the way we work together could be replicated at other libraries. I would work with the library staff to identify their requirements, like I said, and then I would work in Folio to find the relevant app, the tables and the fields and the corresponding API, and then try it out in Postman, and then work on Domoth. Sometimes, there was more to the API and I did Domoth support, communicate that to him, and he would take it from there to build the reports that we need. And now we've been doing this for a while. I'm doing less and less of that initial what are the Folio fields we need, and Domoth is more of an expert on that too. So let's see. Okay, so as word got out that we could build reports and do some customization, we got more requests. So our migration lead created this form to collect development requests. I know it's going to be hard to see here. I'll just go through it. We asked for name and email. The institution, of course, is important because we're location-based. Explain your problem, explain where the data can be found. If it's a report, what are the fields you're looking for in the result? If it's a process, what's the expected action or outcome? Anything else we should know? And they can upload a file. So if they don't really know, they just want the spreadsheet that they had before, they can just upload it there. So we tried to keep it really open so that they could just tell us what they need in layman's terms and we could sort it out from there. And this is the higher level process. Request form comes to me and then goes to development. Okay, so once we get that request, like I said, I'll see what's possible in Folio, because if we don't need to spend that development time, then we won't. There's sometimes, now that Lists is a little bit more advanced, there's sometimes a viable solution there, and I'll even make and share the lists with the for the consortium members. I also make and share lists with Domoth. So if we have a more complex report we need that involves two different types of tables or apps in Folio, I'll make two lists and share them with him, or two Postman requests, so I don't have to get too far down into that since I've got other things going on. But if a Folio option isn't available, we'll schedule a meeting to determine which APIs to use, what parameters to pass, which properties from the responses we'll need to work with. And then we both work in Postman together to test and fine-tune the parameters and filters, and then work on what type of reports we'll generate. So, do we need a real-time data report from the API, or do we need to process and store the data in the database? Then Domoth begins the development work, processing data, building the report, and then we do QA testing, make adjustments as you might expect before releasing it for client testing. And of course, the client is usually our library staff. They approve it, and then we roll it out for access by other institutions as well. So it's a pretty simple, straightforward process. We've got it down pretty well by now. Let's see. All right, and just one other important point before I hand it off. When we're deciding on a process or report, we want to consider its impact or usefulness to other institutions. So if it's a one-off, we don't necessarily put it in Redbud. But based on that, Domoth will show you, he's got some UI level filtering to make the report or process more adaptable. And then also, it's important to note that during testing, we compare data from Folio and Redbud reports just to ensure the consistency and maintain that data integrity. And the client usually knows their data pretty well, so they're able to help with that part. All right, and so I'll hand it off to Domoth to talk about the Redbud application.
Thank you, Megan. I will continue I'm going to talk about the feasibility of the Redbud application. So as Megan mentioned, so this is a kind of a image of the Redbud tree. And in the Redbud application, there are three types of user types, staff, institute staff, and administrator. So basically, staff can see the reports, and institute staff can see some specific reports, and administrations can do the infrastructure operations and user management within the system, and also track the user integration and daily processes. So this is the index page of the Redbud application, and this one is the index page after user login to the system. So right here you can see, yeah, so those are the infrastructure based menus, those are the operations, and those are the reports we built inside the Redbud application. So I will divide the operations into three categories. The first one is Redbud reports. And I'm going to highlight some key features of the Redbud reports in these few slides. So when considering Redbud reports, as Megan mentioned, there are two types of reports, live reports and data process reports. Live reports, in sense, that's it's actually accessing the Folio APIs at the current moment and display the relevant data to the reports. So those are the few examples of live update accessing API data. So overdue fine, overdue items, open loans, patron blocks, and inventory loans kind of reports. And the second type is data process reports. So as mentioned in the diagram, so there is a daily scheduled jobs run around 1 and 5 a.m. in the early morning to ensure there is no disruption to users, since the system is rarely accessed during that time. So by accessing the relevant APIs, and data processing, it will store the relevant data in the database, and the librarians can access near real-time data during their working hours. So those are two types of reports: circulation log reports and the institutional count reports. Those data is already stored in the database, and librarian can access when they need the those reports. And the second operation is bulk data editing. As mentioned in the diagram, there are some already defined processes we can schedule, and we need some parameters in order to run those bulk data editing operations, and we need to submit those parameters to the Redbud application, and after the data processing, back and forth accessing the Folio database. Using the Folio API, and at the very last, there is a report, there is an email or the report, send it to the supervisors, and they can manage the operation is done very well, kind of thing. Those are the three examples of bulk data editing operations. Semester loan due date changes. So, as the parameters, we need to submit the patron group and the due date and operation running. Then it will give some records related to the number of patron group. This number of users get updated to this date. And as well as the user expiration date. So this process is run every 2 times per year and updating the expiration date and the GOW location update. So we need to give the location and the new location. And this, after clicking a button, as mentioned here, here it will automatically update the relevant fields. Those are some operations. So while I'm doing the live demo, I will explain a little bit more about these operations. And the third operation is third-party data accessing. So as an example, we need to update and withdraw the holdings in OCLC-based Folio records. It uses both Folio API and the OCLC APIs, and it's designed to automatically run each month through a scheduled task, which is doesn't have a user interface, and at the very end, it will generate a report via email. So this is a monthly scheduled job. It will access the Folio API and get the relevant items. And it will update the OCLC database through the OCLC API. And at the very end, it will produce an email telling this the process is done. So the current process is scheduled to run once a month, but these settings can be adjusted at any time as needed. So suppose that if you want to run it manually, there is a way to do that by clicking a button to do run the operations manually. So I will go do a live demo. So this is the live environment, and this is the infrastructure. So basically, the entire Folio is based on the infrastructure. That means the institute, campuses, libraries, and locations. Right now, we have 334 locations. So yeah, and also, those data I kept in a database in order to get more performance. Basically, all the operations based on either infrastructure or the patron groups. So right now, I am also keeping the patron groups up to date, and there are 90 records. And I will show the reports. Those are the overdue fine reports. And as Megan says that said that, so each report we clarify that this report is helpful to the other campuses kind of thing. So based on that, we add those drop downs mentioning all the campuses. Likewise, so this API, this report is accessing the API live, so it will take some time to produce the data. Yeah, so this is another live report. So this is kind of a specific report, though. The users ask this kind of report will be helpful to them. So we were discussed and we were at that report. So yeah, so when you click the submit button, it will access the API and grab the data and display in the report. The circulation log report. So this report database data is already inserted to a database via a scheduled job. So each and every day it's run around 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. So you can. And also, I was able to add whatever the material type filtrations as material type, if there is an open loan kind of thing. But we need to give the dates to display.
We get lots of requests from administrators for this.
We can filter it by books or. So its report is fast because of all the data is collected already. Those are the reports, and these are the operations I mentioned here. The reason why that we have executing manual operations because if something wrongs goes within the scheduled jobs, so we can go through and we can correct the data by pressing these buttons. So generally, these are the semester loan due dates. And these are the OCLC operations. So it run monthly, but if you need to test with the live data, so you can press this button and wait till the process ends. Alma loan count, even the circulation log, there are scheduled jobs. So you can correct if the data is wrong, you can correct it by pressing these buttons, circulation log, and user-related operation, expiry date, and we can get the barcodes kind of things. So that's a live data. So how this tool is useful for your library? Basically, I'm focused on two groups. The first group is for librarians. The presentation is primarily aimed for the librarians who are experiencing similar challenges in folio and are seeking effective solutions. The Redbud application address key issues such as custom reporting, user integrations, bulk editing, and third-party data processing. So it's fully tested, that is easy to configure and deploy in a cloud environment. And we invite any librarians interested in implementing this tool in their own institutions to reach out, and we are happy to assist with the steps, set up, or answer any questions you may have. And the second user group is for developers. I believe there may be some developers in its audience. Perhaps you may know any developers who like to engage with some kind of open source project. And this project is already open source and already put in the GitHub. And this is these are the technology stack I am using: Java, Spring Boot, MySQL, and Thymoleaf web template engine. Yeah, so I pretty much like to if any developers contribute, so we can get involved this product and apply for make some more solutions for the universities who are facing the same issues. And yeah, if you have any questions, you can ask.
One of the questions from Zoom was, is Redbud open source? And
yeah,
you answered that, which is very nice to see. Another question came in. Have you run into issues with MARC record validation using the OCLC API?
No.
No, because we're only passing the OCLC number.
Number.
Yeah, we're not sending any MARC back and forth. We're just updating our holdings, setting our holdings. I think that answers their question.
That's all I have.
Oh, that's all? Okay. Any questions in the room?
So when you're updating your OCLC holdings, do you get those reports that you usually get from OCLC after you run the update of things that don't match, for instance? Do you just retrieve them by going online to their interface?
So Dhamith has created some reports that tells us which...
Yeah, which items that I updated.
Yeah.
And I send to them and to check back again.
What if it doesn't make a match?
Do you remember what it says? If it doesn't match. We have like the, I think we have errors and then the ones that went through. And I think we have...
No matches, yeah.
Yeah, I think we have an error. I'm sorry that I can't remember offhand. I can look into it and let you know. But I think we're not getting, I don't think we're getting those standard OCLC reports. That's a really good question. We're just kind of doing it internally. And we have an extremely small cataloging staff. So this was a way, it was all automated through Alma. And so this was kind of our replacement for that.
Basically, I'm getting the items from the portfolio end using an API. I'm just matching those OCLC numbers with the OCLC API, and I'm doing the update. So
there's never a match where you can't find a match in the OCLC side.
There shouldn't be unless there's an error in the
the
OCLC number. Someone entered it incorrectly, I think. And we're doing our cataloging through OCLC to begin with, pulling it into Folio. So it should all match, but I know there's always something that comes up. But other questions? And I'm obvious, I'm digital library is not a cataloger by training.
I noticed on your inventory loan that you also are including your Alma circulation counts.
Yeah.
How are you storing that data in a Folio field, or do you have a separate database of
separate database? Actually, the request from Megan to add that Alma count to that specific records. So I go through the Alma data. Alma, we have a backup from the previous backup. It contains JSON files. So I read all the JSON files and get the item numbers and match those item numbers with the folio. And I make a new field in the database table. So I update those numbers.
Yeah, and the we've got the last number of checkouts and the last checkout dates. Those have been really helpful as we're trying to shift some things out of an old storage building into a better storage building. So that last checkout date's been really helpful. And that data, I think, mostly came from when we did the migration, pulling the data out of Alma. We had that saved. I mean, we saved all the data we could, and we used that to send directly over to Dhamma to put into Redbud. Other questions?
Do you have any plans or intentions of trying to leverage like MetaDB for near real-time journalized entries to streamline the Git process of that data so you're not having to call on Folio APIs, or do you intend to stick strictly to API calls for data retrieval?
Right now, so I'm not a domain expert very much. She's the one who's domain expert. And if she's tell me that to do that, I can do that.
Yeah, we don't have any initial plans to do anything with MetaDB, but I think I've learned more about it from being here.
Yeah,
I think there might be something interesting there that we could explore.
Same. I just heard that.
Yeah. Any other questions? And nothing else online? All right. In that case, thank you all so much for coming and for engaging. If you have follow-ups, please do contact us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. Nice. Thanks. Yeah. I'm the one who's okay. Always traveling to the APIs.
We could end this. Look at the chat first. How's it going over in Epsco? It's going.
Yes.
I think we're on ransoms. I'm not totally sure.